Jen Cooper, the Keeper, here with the next episode of the Mixed Zone Women's Soccer Podcast. This is podcast number 88, very special number, as in 1988, Brandi Chastain and Julie Foudy debuted for the U.S. Women's National Team. And just to make them feel old, let's point out that that's the same year that Tobin Heath, Megan Klingenberg, and Kelly O'Hara were born. So, sorry, ladies, that's how old you are. So the first chat in today's podcast is with a relatively new fan of the U.S. Women's National Team, and she's not even American. Lisa Durrell founded Women's Soccer France last fall, a website focusing on the U.S. Women's National Team and also the NWSL, after being mesmerized by the Women's World Cup champions last summer. Lisa shares her story of how she was inspired by the team and also her trip to New Orleans to see Abby Wambach's farewell game. And, of course, we also talk about the French roster for the upcoming She Believes Cup. Also in today's episode, KeeperNotes.com editor Hal Kaiser chatted with former Dash goalkeeper Erin McLeod while she was in Houston with the Canadian Women's National Team. McLeod finally got to announce her signing with FC Rosengard last week. And, of course, for this interview, apologies for the somewhat windy conditions, but it's definitely worth a listen. And her last few comments should make many NWSL fans very happy. All right, Jen Cooper, the Keeper, here with Lisa Durrell from Women's Soccer France. Lisa, thanks for joining me today.
Thanks for having me. Thank you very much.
Well, I'm so excited to be able to share your story with our listeners. I remember last fall when you reached out to me, you know, on Twitter, just say, hey, you know, what can we do together? And that you seem so enthusiastic about following women's soccer in the U.S., not just the U.S. Women's National Team, but also NWSL.
Yeah.
And I had already started to see an international following, you know, the people reaching out to me from, you know, say Australia or Belgium saying, yes, I'd like an Ashlyn Harris jersey. But I think your site really drove the point home of how this U.S. women's soccer team has really built a following beyond its borders.
Yeah, definitely. Well, it's kind of a cool story because I was watching the Women's World Cup this summer. It was the first time for me because I had a friend who told me on the internet, if you are doing it, nothing, just check it out. There is France versus Germany and it's a quarterfinal, so it's going to be cool. And I was like, okay, I'm doing nothing. So it was a bit of curiosity because when I was a kid, I was watching the men's World Cup with my dad and I got pretty interested. I was a kid when we won the World Cup.
Right.
I was six and it was so crazy around there. But, you know, it was not the thing I was really fond of. And I was like, I have all those cliches and prejudice about soccer because of the image that our men's team embodies the last few years. So I watched the game and I was like, wow, I love what I've seen. But we lost, so who am I supposed to follow now? And I've been reading a few articles about Megan Rapinoe being in the Olympic Lyonnais
right.
in 2013. And I love her because she's out and proud and I'm gay. And it was nice to see an athlete, a foreign athlete, you know, playing in France and being gay and being okay with that. So I was like, okay, let's see the U.S. Women's National Team. And then, you know what happened. And something really happened during the final. I was totally, you know, estranged from all the soccer's rules. And when I've seen, you know, Carly Lloyd giving the captain armband to Abby Wambach,
mm-hmm.
I was like, is it normal? Is it something that usually happens during games? And then I forgot. And I think the real turning point for me was when Carly just scored this amazing goal from midfield. I was so stunned. I was like, wow, those girls, they are fighting for this. They are so physical and so passionate. Yeah. And the final point when they won, and at this time, I didn't know anything about Abby Wambach. And then when she ran through the field to kiss her wife, it was 3 a.m. in France. I was with my beer, I was all alone. I was like, wow, this is beautiful because it can, you know, it can touch you even if you are straight, even if you're a man, or it's just celebrating, you know?
Right. A goal that she had fought so long and so hard to accomplish.
That was totally amazing for me. And then I became obsessed with this team. And because I'm someone who is really curious, I went on YouTube and I checked on Abby Wambach, and I've seen the amazing interview she made for Fox Soccer just before the final, and I cried because she was speaking about her team before her. Even if it was her last World Cup, she was speaking about the team. And I was so struck by what she said. And I think this interview was so important for me because it basically changed my life. Because she was speaking about failure and how to deal with it and, you know, being back on the saddle and being better and never give up. And something that I really needed to hear. And I think this is the strength of all those women. You know, they are speaking about being real and being the best and respect each other and all those beautiful values that everyone needs to hear and learn about. And that was basically the reason I founded Women's Soccer France. I started on September. I was like, man, the only thing I can do on this earth is writing. And all these emotions that I've felt, I was like, I wanted all the French people to feel the same and to share about those stories. Because Abby's stories can be yours. And it feels so easy to connect with these people. And this is why I launched Women's Soccer. At first, I was a bit, you know, scared that I wouldn't meet anyone out there. Mm-hmm. Because it's in the US, because there is the time zones really different and all this stuff. And I was like, okay, never mind. Just give it a shot and start your website. So we talked about the US Women's National Team. We talked about the National Women's Soccer League. We covered the draft. And there is a community that is building up all around the U.S. Women's National Team and the National Women's Soccer League because of the same reason I love them.
Well, and tell me more about how the response you've gotten from people in France and maybe elsewhere in Europe, you know, as you've been covering the U.S. Women's National Team and also NWSL, you know, it's like, is it that they were watching the NWSL games or the World Cup games, or they like a particular player, or they've been enraptured the way you have, or what kind of response have you gotten?
There is a lot of people who are following the game because they like the way they are playing, but also a strong response about the emotions they feel when they see all those girls having their dreams and following them and realizing them. So, yeah, they are really interested in, we had the opportunity to go to New Orleans, to cover the last game of Abby Wambach. And I came back with two interviews from Ashin Harris and Ali Krieger. And they are so popular out there, really, because I don't know, because what they are saying, what they are speaking about is so important and hit home to a lot of people in France. So I think it's that. It's the fact that we can identify to this team more than our French women's national team, actually.
And that's kind of unusual. I mean, I feel like the women's team in France has grown, you know, so much in the last decade, especially the last 5 years, you know, when we saw them kind of break out on the international stage in 2011. So, you know, do you think that perhaps this passion for the U.S. women's team in NWSL might eventually spill over into people following France?
There is the main difference, and I'm going to, you know, repeat myself, but in France, they basically don't speak out about things. They are not passionate about anything because I have this bad feeling that they just can't. They have this specific rule to speak about the games, the techniques, and the team and the results, but not about their private life or what they want to defend as a woman.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's that really interest people about the U.S. women's national team and that we miss in our national team.
Well, it's so great. I mean, for me to hear, and I'm sure for other people in the U.S. to hear that this team is inspiring beyond our borders, because, you know, I think it's something that I think we almost take for granted, you know, here.
Yeah.
We've seen the U.S. women's national team be leaders and be outspoken, you know, for more than 15 years. So it's refreshing to be reminded that this isn't so, you know, everywhere. And that, you know, with the beauty of something like NWSL being on YouTube.
Yeah.
That those games, you know, you can watch those games anytime, as much as you want, at no cost. You know, it's not being geo-blocked. Yeah. Talk about, you know, I'm assuming you started following NWSL. I mean, did you end up picking a favorite team, or just was happy to watch all the games, or what was it like to get into NWSL?
I think I was a bit curious. I was, you know, I'm working a bit late. I'm a community manager, so the community doesn't sleep, basically. So I'm working really, really late. And so when the games are starting at midnight or 1 a.m. for us, it's okay for me. I get the Google notification that, hey, there is a game out there. I'm just like, okay, just check this out. And there was, I think I've watched the Washington Spirit first.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, there was something that, because I loved Ali Krieger and I loved Megan Rapinoe, I've been watching Washington Spirit versus Seattle Reign. And it was so fun for me to see those girls from the national team playing for their clubs. It was maybe some kind of coincidence that I started to watch the NWSL, and then I've been watching all the games from August to the end of the season. And I fell totally in love with the Washington Spirit because of Ali Krieger and Ashlyn Harris. And I've been watching the semifinal when Ali wasn't on the field because of her father's wedding. Ashlyn did an amazing job, and I was like just crying in front of her performance. I was like, oh my God, this is a brick wall. This is the most beautiful brick wall I've ever seen. And what struck me the most about that is that because Ali wasn't there, she felt that she had to write something to her fans to justify why she wasn't there. And it was something that I've never seen before, men or women in France. Nobody is going to apologize to be out of the game, you know? And it was something amazing. It's a real culture in the US, and this culture we don't have in France, because you have all this pride when you are at college and to defend your team as a freshman or something we don't have in France, because out there, when we want to attend college, it's free.
Right.
So we don't have to fight. We don't have to find a scholarship. It changes what we want from our school. And so we are not really fighting for us, and there is not a big spirit about our college. So that was amazing to start to watch those games and then to understand the U.S. culture. You know, when I went to New Orleans,
mm-hmm.
I was in the Mercedes Superdome, and the American Outlaws, they are so huge, so amazing, and those chants, this is something that we don't have. You know, I've been covering France versus Netherlands, and a girl from the Netherlands was knocked down by a French player, and there have been whistles from the French fans, and they were calling her names because she was on the field and she was injured. And I was like, it's not supposed to be like that. It's not supposed to be to look like that. I mean, our support,
right,
for the women's. It's not growing the game, you know. It's not the good passion we are supposed to have when we are watching the sport that we love. So it's so different, and I think it's also something that we really like as French people. It's so refreshing to see this passion. And you know that my community maybe know the Star Spangled Banner. and we are singing it like we were American, you know. It's yeah, it's been something really cool to see all those people connect to the American culture of sport, and something that maybe we need out there in France.
Now, talk about the experience of going to New Orleans for Abby Wambach's final game. Not only being there, but, you know, being able to get those interviews, like you mentioned, post-game with Allie Krieger and Ashlyn Harris. Talk about what it was like to be in the Superdome for that game.
That was weird, because I was told just before the game that I have to have a certain behavior. You know, I wasn't allowed to ask for autographs or pictures, which is totally normal. And I was a bit stressed about that, because I knew that those girls changed my life. And
right.
I didn't want, you know, to show this and to be, you know, to do something crazy, like, you know, crying or do something or totally lost the control.
Right.
But yeah, we did quite well. It was a bit intimidating to be at that press conference just before the public training.
Mm-hmm.
Because I thought that, you know, when Abby entered the room, I thought that there would be like a big silence, something really religious, you know. But no, everybody was talking to his neighbor and checking the sound and doing their stuff. And she just sat on a chair with Gia Lelis at her side. It was totally normal and, you know, spontaneous. And so I did my work and I had the most wonderful time, because I've met those players and I've met also fans. And that was amazing, because I've seen, you know, little kids, little boys, they were like, I don't know, 5 or 6 years. And they were in the stands and I had my camera and I was like, who is your favorite player? Because they were talking with me and I was like, wow, this is so fun. And who is your favorite player? And there was no hesitation. They were like, Abby Wambach. And I was like, she's inspiring not only girls, not only little girls or young women. She's inspiring boys. And this is what is going to grow the game, I think.
Yeah, definitely. I love that we do see in the crowd, you know, that, you know, boys are growing up seeing these women's play, that it's not unusual, you know, for these games to be on TV and for them to see them. You know, it's a huge sea change, you know, here. And I'm hoping it's something that, you know, with your work and the work of others, that we can maybe see start to take place, you know, in Europe and elsewhere.
Because yeah, in the Mercedes Superdome there were like 30,000 people, literally. And it was the biggest event I've ever attended in my life. And back to France, there was like PSG against another club of first division. And there were 70 fans in the stands. And that was all. And so it's something so huge, and it's something I really want to feel. And this is why basically I wanted to share to my community. It's the, you know, the sensations and the emotions that you can feel in the stand, because it's a big communion. And the fun fact is I had these credentials that I used for the public training and the post-game conference with Abby and Ashlyn. But I've been watching the game with my dad, because he went with me to New Orleans because he didn't want me, you know, to get loose in the U.S. or do something stupid or, yeah.
Yeah. In Daddy New Orleans, of all places.
Yeah. So it was in the stadium and we had good places. So I asked the press officer if it was okay. I didn't want them to feel, you know, uncomfortable with that. So it was okay. And I was with my dad. And that was huge, you know, because I've seen those girls and with my own eyes. And what's the most important thing I've seen is that they are the way they are in the video that we've seen on the internet, on YouTube channel of the US soccer. They are so spontaneous, so real. They have these smiles and they can speak about a lot of things as far as you are, you know, respectful toward them, of course. But it's so amazing, you know, out there in France, you can't really speak like that to players. So it was an amazing experience. And then I went to Bourbon Street. And that was crazy. That was the most beautiful experience in my life. And I hope I can, you know, when I brought back those interviews, I've been waiting for Aaron Eifert to validate the videos, of course. I don't want to broadcast something that was wrong or something that was not supposed to be said.
Right.
So I've been waiting for a lot of time because he's so busy, of course.
Right.
And I was teasing a bit that I would have Ashlyn Harris. Ali Krieger's interview just broke the internet. For
That's
me,
great.
I broke the internet because I posted this video on the 31st of December at midnight for us. And I went to sleep. And when I woke up, I seen on my Tumblr dashboards GIF sets from my video. And
wow.
I was like, wow, that was so weird. And there is thousands of views right now. And when I teased people that I had Ashlyn Harris as my next guest, they were so amazingly excited about this.
Right.
And they've been waiting. And they were like, never mind if you wait, just make it right. And I posted the videos and people actually thank me.
That's
to
great.
Make this interview. And I was like, you don't have to thank me. And I think that when you have this kind of reactions from your community, you understand that you're not doing this because they changed your life. You're doing this for them, for the people like who, you know, have problems or understand what Ashlyn Harris is supporting. And this is kind of amazing because I asked my community to send me letters that I would give to the players. And some people told me things, really personal things, and about the way they changed their lives. Because, you know, Ashlyn Harris is working with To Write Love on Her Arms.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so amazing because it's hitting home to people in France and they are so passionate about that and they are sending me those words and I got pretty emotional. I was like, okay, I was not doing this to please my community. I was doing this because it's the right thing to do and they have to, the players, you know, they have to see by themselves how much important they are to people that are, you know, thousands of miles away. So yeah, that was my big mission, and New Orleans, yeah, changed my life and comforted me in my role and said, okay, you began this adventure, you were alone with my associate, but now we have to do something big, something interesting to this community. And what surprised me most is that people are not really interested in reviews of games.
Right.
They are interested in behind closed doors events.
Right.
They're interested in what they are.
The very intense curiosity of what, yeah, the personal lives and
yeah.
all these players, what they do when they're not playing. But
yeah.
let's look ahead to the tournament that's just about to start, because it involves the US and France and Germany and England. And you had mentioned, you know, the first game that you watched for the Women's World Cup last summer.
Was Germany France,
and you know this Thursday it's Germany France followed by USA England. I mean, I love that this tournament is bringing together four of the best teams in the world in a round robin tournament. You know, that's I think that's it's a great competitive tournament. So, what do you think is going to happen with Germany France, the rematch?
Well, that's going to be passionate for sure, but there is something different. The rosters are totally different. Not really totally, but, you know, Germany lost Nadine Angerer.
Right.
She has this, you know, presence on the field. So as a captain, of course, and as a goalkeeper, she is amazing. And so it's going to be different. They don't have Sausage as she retired. So it's going to be pretty a bit different. However, our French roster has been quite modified. I don't know if you have followed the different injuries that happened just before the tournament.
Well, I know there's several key players missing. I mean, Renard isn't on there, and several other players.
Renard is not here. Boulot is injured, and Amandine Henry is injured.
Mm-hmm.
So a young player from Montpellier was replacing Laure Boulot. Sakina Karshawi, and she just got injured yesterday.
Oh no.
So Marion Torrent from Montpellier is gonna replace her. So we have kind of a young team. I think the average age is 25 for this team. There is 15 players that have been to the World Cup.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the most important player that is missing today is Gaëtan Tinet.
Yes.
She has been basically fired from the national team when they got back from Canada.
And was that because she spoke out or she had a falling out with the coach or...
I think it's a big mystery, you know, because she's a good midfielder and she still have a lot of things to give to the sport. She proves it every games when she plays for GVZ. She's the captain of GVZ.
Mm-hmm.
And there was no official, you know, justification for her to be missing. And everybody out there in France think that it's extra sportive reasons. So it's quite bad. And yeah. So she's missing, and there is, we need her basically because she gives so much, you know, strength to our midfield. And we've seen that France right now is not doing well for the Euro. Of course, they are first of their group, but we are against, you know, Greece, Ukraine, Albania, Romania. So no big challenges. However, what we've seen is that for the last games, we lost against the Netherlands 2-1. We were struggling against Greece, Romania, Albania.
Mm-hmm.
There was, you know, some kind of vain dominations. They were like putting pressures on. But we lost balls because it's not about, you know, France is really technical and tactical teams, but they are just doing automatisms. If you see what I mean.
Yeah. They're going through the motions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally. And so there is not a lot of support from each other.
And the last time US played France, you know, they did not meet in the Women's World Cup, but they met last February in France. You know, France won 2-0, but based on what you're saying, I don't think we're gonna see the same French team come out against the US.
It's going to be different. I think it's going to be different. Because the US got this amazing young roster.
Mm-hmm.
And all those girls, they are proven themselves so much. Mallory Pugh, my God, she's so amazing. She's so fast. Crystal Dunn, she's so fast as well. I think we don't bring enough young blood in our team. Mm-hmm. And there is not a big collective spirit that we can see in the US women's national team. So, yeah, it's going to be hard.
And what I think is interesting about this tournament, so that, you know, no games will go to overtime or penalty kicks. It's a pure round robin. So games can end in a tie, you know, so you're going to want to play for a win, because if it ends up being, you know, if two teams end up being tied on points at the end of the tournament, you know, that the tiebreakers are goal differential, goal scored, and then after that, it's FIFA ranking. So, you know... I think it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out. I mean, it could come down to like just a, you know, a one goal difference between, you know, these teams are tied on points, but this team scored one more goal. So I think it's probably the most competitive tournament that you could create in a round robin format.
Yeah. And it's going to be good for the US because of the, you know, there is such a difference of level between the teams in the CONCACAF region.
Well, and Lisa, we're going to have to ask you a favor, since actually in the U.S., we're only going to be able to watch the U.S. games, if you can believe it. But I think I heard that Eurosport is going to show every game.
Yeah, I think so.
So you're going to have to record all of those games for us and put them up on YouTube so that those of us in the U.S. can watch the non-US games. Is kind of frustrating. It's like, I really want to watch France Germany live. But anyway, Lisa, before we take too long, I want to thank you so much for, you know, sharing your story, all the work you've done so far with Women's Soccer France, because I know you're just going to keep doing more and more and just, you know, keep spreading that passion, because I think that's something we can all do to really grow the game.
Thank you very much. It was my very pleasure.
Hal Kaiser here with Aaron McLeod, goalkeeper for Canada, formerly Houston Dash, and now officially FC Rosengard. Congratulations. It's good to have a chance to talk to you. Thanks for coming on. I think one thing that everybody's been wondering, you know, it's no secret that you've been going to Sweden, so the delay in the announcement actually happening, what was the reasoning for that?
I think there was just there was a little bit of paperwork and stuff that I had to get through, and, you know, obviously making qualifiers a priority and being here, it being kind of tricky outside of FIFA dates. So in order to make sure that I wasn't hurting the club, I had to make this commitment and work out, you know, kind of all the little details.
So I know Champions League has been a dream of yours. I mean, the decision to go, when did you decide you wanted to go over, and what was the process of deciding?
Well, you know, I've got to credit Randy Waldrum, because I had a conversation with him at the end of the first season that I was here, and I kind of told him, you know, I'll be here for another year, but I you know, to be honest, my dream is always to be in Champions League. You know, he kind of had to let me go. And he said that, you know, if you give everything that you've got these next two seasons, I'll do what you want. And so I'm extremely grateful to him that he kept his word, and now I'm able to finally pursue my dream. I'm not getting any younger, so, you know, and I feel very lucky that I'm able to go over there with my best friend, and my wife too often. But yeah, and just trying to enjoy it, and it's been really nice being here, actually, the support to end on such good terms with this club, and to help in any way that I can to help out this club.
So what will you miss about Houston now that you're heading over to Europe?
Oh, the barbecue. The barbecue, and you know what they don't have over there? It's like coffee cream. They don't have coffee. They have really good coffee, but they just have, like, non-fat milk, but they have the whipped cream, which, as an athlete, I really shouldn't be consuming anyway, so, so those are the things, and, like, just the southern hospitality, you know, like, Swedish people are like Canadian people. They kind of keep themselves a bit more aware of it. Whereas you'll travel even through New York, we're here, and like there's not one person you walk by who won't ask you like what team you play for, where you come from, and that's really nice.
So you'd be jumping right into it in Champions League, basically with Frankfurt. Yeah, what are your thoughts on that matchup?
I mean, it's just a game that I think will be phenomenal. You know, Sophie Schmidt will be there on the opposite team, and it's always I think it'll be cool to see her over there, and I think it's an honor to play with FC Rosengard. I mean, the players that they have there, you know, even the manager being Therese Shogun, you know, like there's just there's so much quality and good people at that organization. It already feels like family, and I think just like Canada, I'm so proud to always wear the maple leaf, and I'll be excited to wear the Rosengard emblem.
So before the qualifier started, you actually spent a week or so over in Sweden, is that right? And you know, how was that?
Good. I was just doing some rehab and you know, just taking care of myself as you have to do as a bit older. But yeah, it was just cool to be there. It's cool to see Ella. She had already signed a deal with them, and so she was just getting integrated, and you know, they've got to love showing up for all the testing. But yeah, and it's a very professional club.
A question I got to ask. I asked Ella. I know people would scream at me if I didn't ask. I know you're there for 2 years. Do you see yourself finishing your career in Europe, or do you see yourself maybe coming back to NWSL at the tail end at some point? Or undecided?
You know what? It's funny. I'll take it year by year. I've had a lot of, like, nagging things recently, and I kind of had a freak incident as well. So I think as long as I'm healthy, I'm going to want to keep playing. Yeah, but the goal is always to do a stint in Europe and then come back home to retire. So I don't think the NWSL is done with me quite yet.
That'll make people happy here. So I got to ask you one more that I asked you towards the end of the season about FIFA 16 coming out and you actually being in the game.
Yes.
Did you have a chance to actually see yourself or play as yourself? And what did you think? What do you think of your ratings as well?
I think I'm a much better goalkeeper than I am a goalkeeper in that game, because I'm like so horrible at gaming. my nephew actually has like totally schooled me playing me. And yeah, I'm really quite bad at it. I've been beaten a lot of times. I get chipped. I'm like very easy keeper to beat on that game. So I'm glad that that's not real life. But no, I think it's so cool for the women's game. It's you know, I know there was mixed reactions around the world for it, but I think it's cool that it's happening, and I just think it's going to help promote the game.
Yeah, I know. I've had a blast with it, so I hope they go to club
teams next. I hope
you're
is better than mine.
Yeah, I've done all right with you. I've done okay with you. So thanks for making the time available. Good luck over in Sweden. We'll miss seeing you here, of course, but hopefully we'll be able to see some games on dodgy live streams.
Yes, hopefully.
Over here.
Always that. Thank you very much.
Hey, time to wrap it up with the back four. Olympic qualifying for the Asian Confederation. Olympic qualifying is already underway in Japan. Six teams competing for two spots, with each team playing five games in 11 days. Pretty brutal schedule. Be sure to check out Hal Kaiser's coverage of this tournament at keepernotes.com. Meanwhile, just four teams are competing for the last European spot. The Netherlands is hosting Norway, Switzerland, and Sweden in a round-robin tournament that begins this Wednesday. So we'll know by March 9th who the remaining three Olympic teams are. And the date for the draw has been set for April 14th in Rio de Janeiro at the famed Maracanã Stadium. Next, the She Believes roster has been released. Well, all of the rosters have been released for the four teams. But for the U.S. roster, Jill Ellis named 22 players for the tournament that kicks off this Thursday in Tampa. Whitney Engen and Heather O'Reilly back with the team, while Stephanie McCaffrey has been dropped. Seattle Reign defender Lauren Barnes earned her first senior call-up to round out the 22-player roster. The team plays England on March 3rd, then France on March 6th, and finally Germany on March 9th. Note that all USA games will be shown on either FS1 or ESPN3, but the non-USA games are unfortunately not being broadcast in the States. Next, we've got the U17 CONCACAF Women's Championship. It kicks off this Friday in Grenada. Eight teams competing for three spots in the U17 Women's World Cup that will be held next fall in Jordan. Group A, you've got Canada, Haiti, Guatemala, and host Grenada. And the USA is in Group B with Costa Rica, Jamaica, and Mexico. No word on any live streaming options for these games, but scores should be posted on CONCACAF.com. And note that last time around, Mexico eliminated the USA on penalty kicks in the semifinals, with the winning penalty kick save made by a Mexican-American keeper who had been passed over by the U.S. soccer program. Just saying. Last, a few kit notes. The new U.S. soccer crest was unveiled this week. It's the first time the crest has gotten an update since 1995, apart from the special centennial crest that was worn only in 2013. The new USA crest will be on the new jerseys that come out later this month. And the She Believes tournament will be the last one to feature the current uniforms and crests. But of course, the women will continue to wear three stars going forward, and the new uniforms will have the FIFA Champions patch on it. As always, email me, jen@soccerforall.com, with any and all merchandise questions. All right, that's it for this week. If you're not already subscribed to this podcast, I don't know what's wrong with you. Please go subscribe via iTunes or Podomatic or Howler Magazine, something like that. And please spread the word about this podcast. Last but not least, thanks to PK Ray for making this awesome podcast possible.